8. Second Samuel chapter 8. Isn't it good to be in church on Sunday night? Good to get aside and get ready for the week that's before us. Fellowship with one another, fellowship with the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse number 1. I'm going to read quite a bit. Not all of the chapter, but almost all of it. 2 Samuel chapter 8. Beginning in verse number 1. After this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. David took Methegamah out of the hand of the Philistines. And he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought him gifts. David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots, and 700 horsemen, and 20,000 footmen. And David hoed all of the chariot horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to succor Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David slew of the Syrians 22,000 men. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. And from Beta and from Berothai, cities of Hadadezer, King David took exceeding much brass. When Toai, king of Hamath, heard that David had smitten all the host of Hadadezer, then Toai sent Joram, his son, unto King David to salute him and to bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and smitten him. For Hadadezer had wars with Toai. And Joram brought with him vessels of silver and vessels of gold and vessels of brass, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued, of Syria, and of Moab, and of the children of Ammon, and of the Philistines, and of Amalek, and the spoil of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David got him a name when he returned from smiting of the Syrians in the Valley of Salt, being 18,000 men. And he put garrisons in Edom, throughout all Edom put he garrisons. And all they of Edom became David's servants, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. We'll stop our reading there. We're going to focus on verse number 11, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued. I'm going to preach a sermon entitled, Dedicate Yourself. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening service, these open doors tonight, the fellowship of your people that are here. God, we pray for you to meet with us. Lord, it's been a long day and a busy day for many. And Father, as we come this evening, we come asking you just to refresh us from your word. Lord, to give us something that will get us ready for the week as we go into it now. I pray, God, you'd give us, we might glean something. You might give us something from this text and from these thoughts tonight that might challenge us and encourage us. Bless your word to each and every heart, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I appreciate, after preaching the message this morning, the kind words that were expressed and the text that I got today. Preaching this on the subject of bitterness this morning is always a tough subject to do. Nobody gets excited about that. Nobody gets encouraged and motivated by that. But we need that, and the Lord uses that. And so I appreciate that. And I wish that tonight we had something way on the other end of the spectrum that would make up for it. But this is kind of a halfway point, I guess. It's not quite the same thing, and yet it's along the same lines. We're looking here in 2 Samuel chapter 8, and we read quite a long text and a lot of those tricky names that are in there. I was reading in my Bible, I was reading today, and I was back in Genesis, and I kept coming across the name Aholibama. And I decided to change it to Alabama, because that was so much easier to say than Aholibama. So, and Aholibama just doesn't sound right at all. So Alabama kind of fit in there. But there's a lot of tricky names in here in 2 Samuel chapter 8. But here's what I want you to notice from these things. Look at verse number 2 at the end of the verse. So the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. All right, I want you to notice he got gifts from the Moabites. Jump down to verse number 6. Then David put garrisons in Syria after he'd conquered them, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. All right, they were a conquered people, and they sent to David as king. They sent him gifts. Verse number 7, and David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. All right, the shields of gold. In verse 8, and from Beta and from Berothai, cities of Hadadezer, King David took exceeding much brass. David is accumulating much materialism, much wealth, much riches from these nations from which he has conquered. Look down in verse number 11. And so verse 10. Then Toi sent Joram his son to King David to salute him, to bless him, because he had found against Hadadezer and smitten him. For Hadadezer had wars with Toi. And Joram brought with him vessels of silver and vessels of gold and vessels of brass. And then it says, which also King David did dedicate with the silver and gold he had dedicated of all nations. And then those nations are listed beginning in verse 12, of Syria, of Moab, of the children of Ammon, the Philistines, of Amalek, the spoil of Hadadezer, the son of Rahab, king of Israel. David brought the spoil of all these things. And the Bible says in verse 11 that David did dedicate them. It says twice in that verse, which also King David did dedicate, that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued. In the Old Testament, we read many times of the dedication of things. Here, David dedicated the gifts of the gifts that were given to him, of the spoils of war, of the things that were given to him, the silver, the gold, the shields, all that. He dedicated those things. In the Old Testament, dedication is made of several different things. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 5, it says, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? The officer said to the soldiers, if you bought a new house and haven't dedicated it yet, you don't go to war yet till you go home and dedicate that house. We read in the Old Testament of them dedicating silver and gold, dedicating money. We read about dedicated things time and time again. In Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 27, after they built the walls of Jerusalem, they had a dedication service for those walls. In fact, Jesus mentions in the Gospel of John a feast of dedication, which is not referenced anywhere in the Feast of Leviticus, nowhere else in the Bible. And so looking that up to see what that feast of dedication was, I found out it was the rededication of the temple that was built, not Solomon's temple, but the one that was built years later, where the people wept because they remembered the former temple. But when they built that second temple, they had a feast of dedication, which, according to the internet today, is now called Hanukkah. And those eight days of the Jewish calendar that they celebrate, usually in October to November, to somewhere down in that area, is actually that feast of dedication. They dedicated all sorts of things. We do the same thing today. We have baby dedication. We've had several of those, thankfully. Several of those come up in the recent past. And we bring that child forward, and it's not a dedication of the baby, as you know, as much as it is a dedication of the parents. That baby's not making any decision. But the parents are dedicating themselves to the Lord and to raising that child right, and that's a good thing. There is not a biblical teaching that says you have to do that. That's just something we choose to do. When we purchased our church buildings, I remember the one on Madison Avenue, and we had my pastor, H.L. Patty, my late pastor, come and preach the dedication service when we bought that building. We dedicate things. When we were out in the islands, they had a strong congregationalist background in teaching, and they dedicated everything. They dedicated, most of them didn't have vehicles, but if a family got together and they bought a pickup truck from Japan, they would have a dedication service for that pickup. Invite all their friends and all these people, and of course they'd have one of the pastors from the church come and lay hands on that truck, and then it fell apart 2 days later, but they'd have a dedication service. They would dedicate their pigs. I'm not kidding. They raising a hog over there was a big deal. You had to have one because funerals and weddings, you had to donate something to the family to give. It was a big deal. They donated just about everything they got. And we have kind of followed that along. We dedicate things that God blesses us with. We decide to give those back to Him. And it's great to dedicate things to God. But we're not talking about dedicating things tonight. We're talking about dedicating ourselves. Look at a reference that I know you're familiar with. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is the jumping place for the message tonight about this idea of dedication. We go from 2 Samuel 8 to 2 Corinthians. Did I say that right? Did I tell you Corinthians or Crocodile? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. All right, the churches of Macedonia were not wealthy. They were not rich. They were in deep poverty. And yet they gave for the need of the saints in Jerusalem. Paul says this in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift that was that money that they were to take back to the poor saints in Jerusalem, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Can we say it this way? God doesn't want yours. He wants you. Now, it's great to dedicate your house. Great to dedicate your vehicles. Great to dedicate anything God blesses you with as a family. I don't want to discourage that. I want to tell you that the Bible doesn't command you or teach you that you have to do that, but it's a good thing to do, to dedicate anything to God. But the greatest thing you can give to God is not your silver and your gold. It's not your houses and your lands. We could read about dedication of a field back in the Old Testament. Those things are secondary. The greatest thing you and I can dedicate to God is ourselves. Can I say this tonight? Dedication and salvation are not the same experience. Salvation is what you got when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You put your faith and trust in Him, and you became saved. Once saved, once for all. All right, that's signed, sealed, and delivered. But that's not dedication. Dedication is after you're saved, when you are so impressed by the goodness of God and the blessings of God and the reality of God, that you decide more than just giving Him your soul, you want to give Him your heart, your body, your hands, your feet. You want to give everything to Him. That's what dedication is. And I want to talk tonight for just a few minutes about some things that you and I need to dedicate. Not things, but things about ourselves. Number one, dedicate yourself to the Lord. It said back there in 2 Samuel chapter 8 that all those things David brought in, he dedicated to the Lord. To dedicate means to set apart for a definite use. To set apart for a definite use. We dedicate our homes to the Lord by saying, God, this is a place of refuge. This is a place of sanctification, a place where we can get away from the world and enjoy the things of God. We want You to be pleased with this home, You to be pleased with that house, with our vehicle. God, whatever I do with this place, help me not to go to wrong. We are dedicating it for a specific purpose. Well, you and I, the Bible tells us, ought to dedicate ourselves to God. To give ourselves, to set ourselves apart for a definite use. They say about politicians, they have dedicated themselves to public service. And that applies to policemen, firemen, federal employees, all different ones. They have dedicated themselves to public service. It's said of Leonard Bernstein, who you probably don't recognize, but I came across it. Excuse me. Leonard Bernstein dedicated his life to Broadway. All right, he's one that wrote a lot of the great Broadway musicals and the songs there. He dedicated his life to that. It said of George Washington Carver, you might recognize that name, that he dedicated his entire life to the research of plant life. Now, that might sound like a frivolous endeavor, but he was the one that came up with the idea that crops should not be replanted over and over and over and over again on the same plot, but they should rotate those. But this man came up with that by dedicating himself to the study of those different things. Much is accomplished when someone dedicates themselves to a specific purpose. You and I will accomplish much if we dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Brother Ionello quoted it, I think, at the Preacher's Fellowship. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, you know the verse, with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. That's dedication. That's something that we probably are not mindful of on a day-to-day basis, that we are to love our God that thoroughly. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You and I need to be motivated to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, to be consecrated to His purpose, to dedicate. Now let me say this. Those that are dedicated to public service, those that are dedicated to Broadway, even he who is dedicated to plant life, it doesn't mean they spent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week focused on that one thing. They had to live life. They had responsibilities. They had duties. They had things they had to do. So it wasn't that it was their focus 24/7, but it was the main drive and desire of their life. You and I are busy with the responsibilities of this world and of this life. We've got to do different things. But it ought to be our desire and our main drive to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, to live for Him. That brings me to point number two. Not only should we dedicate ourselves to the Lord, but we should dedicate ourselves to living right. Dedicate ourselves to living right. I thought about this as I meditated on it. Is it really hard to live right? I don't think it is. Is it hard to live alcohol-free? I don't have any problem. Now, I'm not trying to brag on myself. Is it hard to live tobacco-free? Is it hard to live drug-free? Of course, when I talk about drugs, I'm not talking about pharmaceuticals. I'm talking about illegal drugs. Is it hard to live pornography-free? Now, I know that some of these things are habitual. Some of these things get a hold of some people. But you know what we need? We need folks that are dedicated to right living. It's not hard not to cuss and swear. It's not hard to live right. In fact, Paul said, "I the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me." Clean living. That's a great treasure. That's a great goal. And it comes by dedicating ourselves to living right. I tried a search engine putting in clean living. Do you know that the internet has no idea what clean living is? When I put in clean living, you know what I came up with? Not eating any toxic vegetables. Make sure you're not eating anything that's had stuff sprayed on it, this thing or that thing. When I put in clean living, it talked about being careful of the ingredients you use in your home to mop your floors and do all this. That's all the world gets out of clean living. But you know what the Lord gets out of it? Someone that's dedicated to Him. Someone that has given themselves to do those things. If you're in 2 Corinthians, turn a few more pages to the right. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Dedicate yourself to living right. When an opportunity arises for you to do wrong, just say no. I was in high school in the 1970s when drugs were just becoming a big deal in public schools and things like that. And the big phrase, I remember my best friend Doug had it on his trombone case, a big sticker, said, just say no to drugs. People say, well, it can't be that easy. Yeah, it can. Just say no. No, no thank you. Well, don't even say thank you. No, I don't want it. Just say no. Clean living. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Notice verse number 10. Paul said this to the church at Thessalonica. Chapter 2, verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily... Now notice that word is H-O-L, not W-H, like completely, but H-O-L, holy. How holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Well, there's a pretty lofty goal right there, isn't it? To live holily and justly and unblameably. Yeah, I got to get that pronunciation right. He says that's how we behaved ourselves. Look over to chapter 4, verse 1. The same book. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk to please God, so you would abound more and more. We need to dedicate ourselves to clean living. Watching where we go, watching what we do, watching what we consume. Talking about alcohol, drugs, things like that. Living a clean life. Say, for what purpose? So that others will see it? No, not necessarily, but to please God. That's what Paul said. We did it to please God. The Bible tells us over and over again how we ought to walk. Here's how you ought to walk. He said that in these verses in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. How you ought to walk and to please God. Don't go where God doesn't want you to go. Don't do what God doesn't want you to do. Don't say what God doesn't want you to say. It really isn't that difficult. Now, there'll be challenges along the line. I understand that. Temptations along the line. But if we dedicate ourselves first, that makes it a little easier to face. If we don't have that point of dedicating ourselves to the Lord, dedicated ourselves to living right, then when the temptation comes, we're not prepared or not ready for it. But if we make that decision ahead of time, and this is taught in so many areas of our life, if we make a decision ahead of time, then when the temptation comes, we say, no, I've already made a decision concerning this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to participate. We need to dedicate ourselves to living right. Number three, we need to dedicate ourselves to loving others. Dedicate ourselves to loving others. Look at John chapter 13, if you would, the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John, of course, is packed full of this. The Gospel of John and 1 John. You want to read about loving one another, the Gospel of John and 1 John are your two places to go. John chapter 13. Verse number 34, you know these verses, verse 34 and verse 35, John chapter 13. A new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said, that you love one another. I have a sneaking suspicion that Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, they always didn't agree on everything. They're different personalities, different backgrounds, different demeanors, different families, different economic stations in life, all kinds of differences among those 12 that he taught. So you know what he told them? He said, I'm going to give you a new commandment, fellas, that you love one another as I have loved you. Wow. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love. One, two, another. We sing the little chorus of the song, they will know we are Christians by our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Turn over to John 15, just a page over. John 15 and verse 12, this is my commandment that you love one another. What? He just said that. Why is he repeating it? Because he knows us. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. Down in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. I don't even need to add anything to this, do I? The Lord Jesus Christ emphasizing that we ought to dedicate ourselves to loving one another. Let me give you some references. There are so many, and we won't turn to all these. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 9. Ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. The Bible says over and over and over again that we should love one another. Turn to 1 John, simply because this is the back door to it. John, the Gospel of John, was kind of the front door. Some other verses in between. Then 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and verse number 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Down to verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that it loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You noticing that phrase, love one another, is popping up over and over and over again? You think the Lord repeated it because He wanted us to get it? Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. We need to dedicate ourselves to loving others. Number four, we need to dedicate ourselves to learning more. That's what the purpose of church is all about. To learn more. I quoted a lot of verses about loving one another. Let me quote something else that's not equal to Scripture. Let me quote the words of a great old hymn about learning more. More about Jesus would I know. More of His love. Notice how they go together. More of His love for others show. More of His saving fullness see. I hope that's the right word. More of His love who died for me. My problem is my eyes get older. My hand's still writing as small as it ever did. Verse 2 says, more about Jesus let me learn. More of His holy will discern. Spirit of God my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. The third verse, more about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making His faithful sayings mine. We need to dedicate ourselves to learning more. More about Jesus. The day that we get to heaven, it won't matter how much we knew about anything else. It'll all be about Him. The Bible says in the book of Acts about those Bereans that they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. You know, one of the greatest things that you and I can have in this life is a hunger for the Word. Blessed are they, Jesus said, that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. A hunger to know more about Him. We need to dedicate ourselves to learning more about Jesus. Paul told Timothy, we ended on that verse in Adult Sunday School this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. All right, the Bible encourages us to get into the book, to put our nose in there, to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Dedicate ourselves to learning about Him. Then number five, and you'll be glad to know this is lastly, we need to dedicate ourselves to looking up. dedicate ourselves to looking up. If we're dedicated to the Lord, if we're dedicated to living right, if we're dedicated to loving others, if we're dedicated to learning more, we will be dedicated to looking up. The Gospel of Luke chapter 21 and verse number 28 says, "Look up and lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh." I don't know what the world's looking for. I don't care what the world's looking for. I'm looking for the Lord. I told a fellow the other day, we were talking about something, I can't remember what. I said, "I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker." Apparently he'd never heard that, that's good, I'm going to write that down, I'm going to remember that. I'd love to have told him, "Yeah, I came up with that myself." Couldn't say that. But we're supposed to be looking for the upper taker. Supposed to be longing for the Lord to come back. It's only been 2 days since He left, you understand that? A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Time to God is not like time to us. It's only been 2 days since He left. 2,000 years to us, but only 2 days. He said He's coming back soon. How soon is soon? I don't know, but 2 days is not very long. I hope it's not 3 days. I hope it's right at 2. But we need to be looking up. Turn to one verse. If you're in 1 John, back up just a few pages to the book of Titus right before Hebrews. A little page of Philemon between Titus and Hebrews, but right before Hebrews is Titus. It's only a couple pages itself. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13. Can we combine the two? Living right and looking up. Verse 12 is living right. Verse 13 is looking up. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, there's living right. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We should. We should live that way. The Bible says so. We can live that way. We should live that way. Why should we live that way? He says in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. David dedicated some things. David might have done better to dedicate himself. I'm not saying if you dedicate yourself, you'll be problem-free or sin-free. But it sure would be a good thing for us tonight to dedicate ourselves to God. Afresh and anew. See, salvation's a one-time thing. Dedication's not. You can dedicate and rededicate something. And maybe our lives tonight need to be dedicated or rededicated to the Lord. To living right, to loving one another, to learning more, and to looking up. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.